This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Some Iranian officials and lawmakers there are now accusing the United States of attacking two oil tankers in the Gulf of Oman last week as a pretext for attacking Iran. On CBS News, Republican Senator Tom Cotton says clearly Iran was behind those attacks, and they should be answered with a military strike.
Going back to President Washington and all the way down to President Trump, the fastest way to get the fire and fury of the U.S. military unleashed on you is to interfere with the freedom of navigation on the open seas and in the air. That's exactly what Iran is doing, and one of the world's most important strategic choke points. The president has the authorization to act to defend American interests.
Fashion and beauty icon Gloria Vanderbilt has died at 95. Her reported net worth was over $200 million. She's the mother of CNN anchor Anderson Cooper, who's confirmed her death to CNN. And this is USA Radio News.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings. $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. And when it comes to healthcare sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or pay back loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Facing nationwide outrage over a video showing the arrest of a black mother and father, the mayor of Phoenix is now apologizing. Mayor Kate Gallego took to Twitter over the weekend to call the actions of two Phoenix police officers completely inappropriate and clearly unprofessional. The cell phone video taken by a witness showing the officers not wearing body cams, pointing guns and yelling threats at the man and his pregnant fiancée who were with their two young daughters, one of whom the family admits had taken a doll from a dollar store. Chaos at a graduation party in Philadelphia last night after a gunman opens fire, killing one person and wounding at least seven others. No arrests have been made, and the police commissioner says they're not sure of the motive.
There was nothing that suggested there was a fight that preceded this, at least according to the people here.
Workers at Volkswagen's only U.S. plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee, have voted not to join a union, and this is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Boeing CEO Dennis Muilenburg says the company really should have been more forthcoming with regulators and the public when it discovered safety problems with its 737 MAX aircraft. Speaking at the Paris Air Show, Muilenburg discussed the company's reaction to finding out that a safety light wasn't working as it was supposed to, and that light has been linked as part of the cause of the two big Boeing 737 MAX crashes that killed hundreds of people and resulted in the grounding of the planes for months now. A few days ago marked 25 years since the discovery of two bodies, which led to what was called the Trial of the Century. Well, now it's been 25 years since the most famous police pursuit in history.
OJ, you there?
Over 95 million people are believed to have been watching the white Ford Bronco lead police on a low-speed chase through Southern California on June 17, 1994, inside OJ Simpson. At the wheel, Simpson's friend Al Cowlings, who was on the phone with police much of the time.
Right now, we all chase.
but you got to tell the police to just back off. He's still alive, and he's got a gun to his head.
And eventually, O.J. himself took the phone.
Please, just toss it out. You're scaring everybody, man.
I'm not going to hurt anybody.
Simpson eventually surrenders to police, but in the end was acquitted of the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, it's the way we roll, and that's what it's all about, America. Welcome back 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Got a real treat for you. Imagine if you could get into the soul of what was going on in Iraq and Afghanistan. I mean, so many stories. When you consider, you know, the people there, what had happened. There's more about war, like in any war. You know, just go down through the history of man, and you begin to hear the individual stories, and it broadens our perspective dramatically. Well, Elliot Ackerman has done that for us. He's a decorated Marine, National Book Award finalist, and he's sharing an unflinching memoir about combat and the human cost of the wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Syria. I mean, here is a man who represents less than 1% of Americans, and by that I mean that experienced combat at the level that he did. I mean, you think about his background. He looks at war from many angles. He's guided fellow Marines through brutal urban combat in Iraq, interviewed Syrian Democratic activists about their failed revolution, sat down with a former member of Al-Qaeda in Iraq to discuss the future of the Middle East. It's here in his book, Places and Names on War, Revolution, and Returning. Semper Fi, Elliot. Good to have you with us. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me, Bill.
Wow, what a story. I mean, for you to give us, I mean, this is really a gift, Elliot, of what you're sharing with us, this part of history that only someone like you could give us. I mean, I'm really grateful for your giftings and talents and your faithfulness to, you know, see this through. Others, you know, would have just said, hey, look, I need to get back on my civilian business and, you know, move on, take care of my family. But for you to take the time to write this is really a blessing.
Well, thanks so much. I appreciate that.
Okay, so for you, I mean, this is my perspective, but, you know, for you and your heart, why this book, Places and Names?
So all of my other books are novels, and I consider myself primarily a novelist, but I also do a lot of work as a journalist. And as I was filing dispatches from Syria in the wake of the revolution, I found that anytime I would be writing about Syria, kind of what kept staring back at me was the American experience in Iraq and Afghanistan. And it was this idea that kind of through these dispatches, I was also sort of writing, you know, not only my own story, but the story of the time in which I served.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see very clearly how contemporary events around the Arab Spring Wars were really impacted and influenced by events from 10 years before and our wars in the Middle East. And so I found myself kind of writing a book that was the dialogue between these two ultimately failed conflicts.
You know, and it's interesting because what you lead me to believe is something that I thought. I was a Vietnam era vet, did not go into combat, was on the outside, and as a broadcast journalist, I did radio and TV for the Marine Corps, and so I saw it from that outward perspective. But there was so much more to the story to realize that, you know, war happens when, you know, diplomacy, you know, fails. And it's just kind of a desperate attempt to write things that are just, I mean, there's just such a deeper story that I don't know that particularly when we look back in Vietnam, if we really even understood, you know, what happened. I mean, it's like a big train wreck.
Yeah, I think that's certainly true. You know, and there is a deeper story, and I think what can often get lost in, you know, and all the headlines and all the oftentimes horrific news that is coming out of the headlines is the humanity of the people who are involved. And I don't just mean the people who fight on our sides. I mean the people who are impacted by the war, you know, and also the people who fight on the other side.
Exactly.
And ultimately, you know, at the end of the day, once, you know, you've experienced a war as a combatant or otherwise, I think you want to go back and try to understand that experience. And, you know, for me, this book is not only trying to understand my own experience, but trying to understand the experience of others. And the process of doing that helped me also understand my own experience.
Yeah, well, what did the citizens, you know, there in the Middle East, of Iraq and Afghanistan, what did they want?
Well, I think it's tough to give one statement categorically. You know, I'll say some of the most interesting one of the most interesting moments for me, which I write about in the book, was a meeting I had with a fellow named Abu Hassar. Mm-hmm. And Abu Hassar had fought for Al-Qaeda in Iraq, and he had fought in some of the same parts of Iraq that I had fought in. Mm-hmm. And so that meeting was brokered by another friend of mine, a man named Abed, who was a member of the Democratic Revolution inside of Syria. And so at our meeting, it's basically me, Abu Hassar, and Abed sitting around the table. You know, so you have an American Marine, a former member of Al-Qaeda in Iraq,
right,
a Syrian Democratic Revolutionary. And it's the three of us kind of talking about our failed wars and our failed revolution. And, you know, there's a lot of kind of commonality in those experiences. You know, the biggest one is all three of us had an experience, you know, in our 20s and 30s that was probably the most profound and defining of our lives, but it was ultimately experience that had left us, you know, kind of deeply disillusioned in certain ways.
Well, exactly. And for Abu, for him to be involved as Al-Qaeda, what was his hope? Was his hope to unify the country? I mean, you know, everybody has their story. So you have three separate men, three separate stories. So I'm curious, each of their stories, what was it about for him?
You know, it's sort of interesting. So there's a certain moment in that conversation. I remember I was looking over at my friend Abed, who was the, you know, Democratic activist.
Mm-hmm.
And Abed was translating something Abu Hassar was saying to me, and it was sort of Abu Hassar's radical vision of Islam and an end-of-days battle he still believed was going to occur, and I could see how frustrated Abed was becoming translating this.
Mm-hmm.
Because in many respects, Abu Hassar and radical Islamists like him had been the force that had really undermined Abed's democratic revolution inside Syria.
Right.
And the strange connection I kind of, you know, what occurred to me then was that, you know, as much as Abu Hassar had undermined Abed's revolution in Syria, you know, Abu Hassar was also the one who had undermined the war I was involved in Iraq, which was nominally, you know, it's not fashionable to say this anymore, but I remember what people were talking about when we went to war. And back then they were saying it was a war to bring democracy to the peoples of Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And so Abed and I, you know, the Syrian Democratic activists and the American Marine, we were sort of strangely veterans of the same war. And the person who had undermined us, or who represented the forces that had undermined us, was Abu Hassar, this guy who was sitting across the table from the two of us.
And kind of amazing, as I was reading your book, is that Abu Hassar starts naming places and names, which you're thinking, wow, I mean, this kind of borders treason, does it not?
Well, what starts happening at a certain point is Abed gets, he gets up because he just needs a break from translating, and Abu Astar starts writing the places and names where the two of us had fought on the map, and he is filling those in and putting dates next to them, and he wants me to put a date next to his date. And I realize that Abu Hassar and I kind of share this language of common places and names. And that language was one that Abed couldn't translate for the two of us because we fought in the same places at the same time. And he and I had, as much as Abed and I had this thing in common of trying to engage with democratic ideals, Abu Hassar and I were veterans of these things.
More from Elliot after this. Stay with us.
Afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS. Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call, 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month, you could fight against heart disease naturally. At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you own a timeshare? Well, you probably now realize it wasn't a good idea, and the financial strain it's putting on you and your family has you stressed, and you probably think there's no way out. This is Steve Sanchez, and you know I've been an advocate for hardworking Americans just like you for 27 years, and there's a way out of this financial nightmare, and my friends at Wesley Financial, the leading timeshare cancellations company in the country, can help you cancel your timeshare guaranteed. Being lied to, misled, and pressured into buying a timeshare doesn't have to be your story. But freedom of being out of it can be. I have a special free information kit that will give you the step-by-step process that Wesley Financial uses to get you out of your timeshare guaranteed. Call 1-800-501-6100. That's 1-800-501-6100 or visit stevesanchez.info. You don't have to have the financial nightmare of a timeshare any longer. Wesley Financial can help you get out guaranteed. Call 1-800-501-6100.
Your opinion really does matter. Bill Martinez live, without a doubt.
minutes after the top of the hour. Thomas Ricks, the author of Making the Core, Fiasco in Churchill and Orwell, writes about Elliot Ackerman. He says, his voice scares me. It's a bit too close for comfort. He sees too much and he knows too much. And that makes him a great guide to today's post, Everything Middle East. Read him at your own risk, but ignore this book at your own peril. Wow. That says a lot. And as I mentioned earlier, probably 99.5% would never experience, you know, combat or anything to the measure that Elliot Ackerman has experienced as a former Marine, a Silver Star awardee, and also a soldier turned journalist. Elliot, when you were brought into this meeting to meet with this former Al-Qaeda operative, or warrior, I should say, I mean, you're a journalist. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. Danny Pearl, a journalist, went to meet with someone that he thought was okay and, you know, lost his head in the process. Was there any concern about your safety?
There was, but, you know, you take certain precautions to make sure that, you know, you're doing it on terms that you feel comfortable with, and, you know, and I was able to make those precautions.
Mm-hmm. So you were okay with that. So now you're at this point discussing, in, you know, with Abu Hassar, and he's laid out for you a map and, you know, the certain areas that he experienced combat in, and you're realizing, you're going, whoa, you know, been there, done that, So at this point, does he understand that you are a former Marine, that you were a combatant, probably against him in probably many of these areas? Has he kind of connected the dots at this point?
Well, he has. I mean, well, he knows that, and I've told him. You know, and our whole meeting is kind of was predicated on this idea that I knew I was very curious about him and who he was, because, you know, when you go to war, you know, you're kind of engaged in a dance with your adversary, and you can feel them acting upon you just as, you know, they can feel you acting upon them. So it's sort of like a shadow dance in that you never see your partner.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a lot of curiosity as to who my partner was. And when I was given the opportunity to meet him, to meet Abu Hassar, I jumped at it. And the gamble there was that he would have an equal level of curiosity about me, which proved to be the case.
Right. Okay. And so here it is. I mean, a chance for both of you to now do the dance together, as you say. What do you think he took away from this?
Well, I think it was just, you know, there was a hunger for the two of us to, you know, I mean, just simple things, to ask each other questions. You know, what was it like for you? You know, when were you the most afraid? You know, what was the thing we did that was the most difficult for you to deal with? You know, just all those types of questions. How did you wind up in the war? You know, what did you think of us as fighters? And so we sort of had a very, you know, wide-ranging conversation about issues like that. And, you know, ultimately, I think the core was, it was this realization that, you know, the wars were defining it. That war was a defining experience for the two of us. Mm-hmm. And we had been similarly defined by it. And despite all of our other differences, that fact meant that, you know, I'll just speak for myself, that, you know, I had more in common with Abu Hassar, a member of Al-Qaeda in Iraq, than I did with many of the people I grew up with and went to high school with, because Abu Hassar had fought in the same places that I had.
Well, there's something about, you know, sacrifice. When you're willing to lay it all on the line, your very life on the line for, you know, in your case, it was liberty, it was for, you know, all that America represents. And for him, it's his home country, right? So I guess maybe there's some equal parallels, though across from one another, still some, you know, similar parallels there, right?
Yeah, well, I think the greatest parallel, which I talk about in the book, was both of us acknowledge that, you know, the real reason we were there fighting, probably the most pressing reason, was, you know, was for our friends and for the people we were there with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's something that's sort of one of the great truths of war, and it holds true whether or not you're a U.S. Marine or a member of Al-Qaeda in Iraq. And and even though the ideologies are vastly different, and, you know, and he and I, even meeting years later, you know, had very little ideological common ground, we did have this one piece of common ground, which was just sort of the general truth of the experience of fighting in a war, the universality of it.
Right, exactly. In your book, you talk about revisiting Fallujah. 12 years after fighting in the battle, not a whole lot had changed, huh?
No, I think that was sort of one of the most poignant things, was to go back there and to stand in some of the little known places that, you know, that I had returned to my memory so often, and to realize that they were basically exactly the same. The only thing that was different was that subsequent battles of Fallujah had been fought since I fought my battle there.
Mm-hmm. And so here it is. It just keeps on going. Do you have a sense that you know, at some point people run out of bullets and maybe we just stop fighting? Or, you know, what is the takeaway from you after going back, and 12 years later it's like, you know, nothing much has changed. We just have different bodies in there fighting, you know, fighting a war, shooting at each other.
You know, I mean, the book gets into some of the, you know, the particulars of the war in Iraq and Syria and Afghanistan. But, you know, I hope that at a deeper level it gets into some of the truisms of war, you know, and why is it that we as a race, meaning the human race, mm-hmm. you know, why have we always gone to war? What is it in our nature that makes us do it? And ultimately, too, what is it in our nature that keeps drawing us back?
Yeah. So what's your conclusion on that?
That war is something that we have done and will always do, and the best we can hope is to just understand it as we understand our natures as people, and that's what I endeavor to do through my writing, mm-hmm. and that's what I hope this book brings.
You hope that we have because leaders are the ones that take us to war, not the soldiers. I mean, you know, the soldiers are following orders, so it's the leaders that we have in place. Is your hope that you know, as the voter politic, that we would be wiser in choosing, you know, men who look at war as a last resort as opposed to something we immediately throw ourselves into?
I certainly feel that way, and I feel the best way to have people and to have leaders and to be citizens and voters who don't succumb to the rhetoric of leaders who would want to send us to war is to have a deeper understanding of what war is and how mm-hmm. horrible it is and how rarely it ever achieves the policy objectives that we hope to achieve with war.
Is part of the problem because there's so few people involved in it?
I think that's true. I think, listen, as a country right now, you know, it's 2019. I mean, this year actually marks a somewhat grim milestone. You know, this is the first time actually in the history of our country that a young person can go enlist to fight in a war that's older than they are. That's never happened before. And why are these wars going on so long? You know, I would say they're going on so long because they've been fought by an all-volunteer military and they've been funded through deficit spending, meaning there's no war tax in this country. Mm-hmm. It's very easy for us to go to war. And that's a new construct, you know. Every war America's fought, there's been a construct. The Vietnam War with the draft, World War II with war bonds and a draft, even all the way back to the Civil War. Your first ever income tax was the Civil War and the first ever draft in this country. But these wars have been designed in a very specific way. And the result is that most Americans, through no ill will, but just by design, have been sort of anesthetized to them. We don't feel it when we go to war. And that makes it very easy, too easy, for us to fight wars.
Do you believe that citizens of the country should owe a service, whether it's military or some other service to the country?
I think it would be healthy for us to look again at a draft in this country and what that would mean. You know, doesn't mean mm-hmm. everyone gets drafted, but there's a specter that, you know, there's a lottery or something, or something to that effect, where maybe, I don't know, 10% of our military would be made up of people who were engaged in some type of national public service. Yeah. I think the construct we have now is very dangerous and puts our country in a position of moral hazard.
Well, Elliot, congratulations on the book, a National Book Award finalist. Elliot Ackerman, the name of the book, Places and Names on War, Revolution, and Returning, gives us insight to what many of us, over 99% of our citizenship, would never experience. This is some special insight from Elliot Ackerman. Elliot, where can they go to get their hands on your book?
Anywhere good books are sold, any independent bookstore or Amazon. Places and Names is the book.
Excellent. And we'll link it at our website, too, at BillMartinezLive.com. Thank you.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Some Iranian officials and lawmakers there are now accusing the United States of attacking two oil tankers in the Gulf of Oman last week as a pretext for attacking Iran. On CBS News, Republican Senator Tom Cotton says clearly Iran was behind those attacks, and they should be answered with a military strike.
Going back to President Washington and all the way down to President Trump, the fastest way to get the fire and fury of the U.S. military unleashed on you is to interfere with the freedom of navigation on the open seas and in the air. That's exactly what Iran is doing, and one of the world's most important strategic choke points. The president has the authorization to act to defend American interests.
Fashion and beauty icon Gloria Vanderbilt has died at 95. Her reported net worth was over $200 million. She's the mother of CNN anchor Anderson Cooper, who's confirmed her death to CNN. And this is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Martinez here. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Lou Euler joins us now. Lou, of course, is the founder and president of the National Tax Limitation Committee. Lou, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Good to talk to you.
Always good. I got my guacamole out. Thank you, Mr. President. I thought my guacamole was going to be compromised, but thank God sober minds reigned between Mexico and the United States, and Mexico looks like they're stepping up to help us out and be a true partner in this whole border crisis. I mean, there, you know, as Donald Trump said, sadly, Mexico is doing more for this country than our own Congress.
Absolutely, and it took Trump's experience with, the tariff threats and all the rest, his negotiating skills, to bring them to the table to help us with this border crisis. You're absolutely right.
Well, you know, and to this point here, Lou, imagine if we had a little bit of cooperation. I mean, the USMCA, which is, NAFTA 2.0, the update of it, the appropriate update, I should add, between Canada and Mexico and the United States, that should have already been signed, sealed, delivered, end of story. Let's start working on our trade arrangements with Japan and our European partners. And then, China is, not that far behind. But China, they could afford to hit the pause button because they, all that they're hearing from the Beltway is that the president is vulnerable and that he may not get reelected. I think they're heeding to some poor advice there, but because meanwhile they're paying a price and maybe playing a card to say, well, if it comes under new management, we could probably get a better deal under the next management. But I would say that what Donald Trump has already created, that is going to be somewhat close to the standard. So whoever, if it's not Donald Trump in 2020 and it happens to be somebody else, guess what? They're going to have to live under the pressure and expectation established by this president.
Yes, we have this incredible array of very liberal and progressive candidates who are declaring for the presidency. And as you begin to go down the list, it's hard to find anybody with the thoughtful qualifications and background and policies that you would want even close to the presidency. So I think if he plays his cards right, and if the rest of us respond effectively to the tax reform that we've passed that is doing such a great job for America, mm-hmm. and the other things, and let him be the international negotiator. It's a win-win for America.
Exactly. Well, that's the exact point, Lou. It is win-win for America. This is America's president. And who in the modern era have we had with this kind of gumption and experience to take on these international powers? I mean, look what happened with NATO. NATO was not putting in their fair share. He's putting heat on Germany again, as he well should. I mean, they're only at 1%. They're supposed to be doing a minimum of 2%, and he's holding their feet to the fire, not to mention that goofy deal that they made with Russia, which is a whole other story unto itself. But he goes into NATO and says, hey, you guys, you need to pay up here. Oh, all the Democrats, everybody, oh my goodness, how disrespectful that he would ask them to pay their bills. And their response was, well, nobody asked. And look at how many billions of dollars he's raised on behalf of NATO since he's become president. How much did Barack Obama raise?
Now, that's absolutely right. And which raises the issue that I think is foremost in front of us right now, and that is the cost of this government. And what he's doing is bringing the cost down. We just lost the great economist here, Martin Feldstein, just recently. Mm-hmm. And Martin was among his last discussions and articles are concern about the national debt and the level of spending by the U.S. Mm-hmm. So here we have a president who is concerned about that and is trying to offset the demands by the liberal big spenders in Congress and bring down total spending. That is key to expanding the economy and the wealth of each individual member of the United States citizenry. Mm-hmm. If we're going to go forward and create the kind of background and support system that we need for the future.
Well, Lou, I think it starts with a vision of what this country is all about. What is the great American idea of the 21st century? And I believe Donald Trump is the one to articulate that. Because once we understand what kind of government we are buying and investing in, then it's a little bit easier to deal with this. And also, it brings into line these liberal big spenders that want to give free everything. And they're out there buying votes at the expense of the people's treasury. You know, you can't continue to do that. We already see very easily, at least most reasonable people can see that, you know, Medicare for all, the single payer system that whether it's Sanders or Warren is introducing and Kamala Harris and that. I mean, this is ridiculous. The new Green Deal, the thing that AOC pushed and many of these candidates have picked up. The left is going hard left, and meanwhile, Joe Biden's being left in the weeds. I think that probably what's going to happen, even though he's got this, you know, double-digit lead on everybody, is he's going to fade because he's going to be irrelevant to the modern Democratic Party.
Yeah, I think you're right. They seem to have shifted from blue-collar support, the traditional role to help the working people of America, and now that is falling to Trump and to the conservatives in Congress, and that has everything to do with right-sizing government, bringing its size down, and increasing the wealth potential of every single member of our economy and bringing back more people into the workforce, manning the oars, as yes. you and I have talked about in the past. And that's the challenge that we face now. Right now, we have 1.5 million more jobs out there than we have unemployed to fill them. Mm-hmm. That's the result of good policy on tax reform and tax cuts.
Well, and who is going to fill that void? Who is going to be the one to lead the way to fill that void than Donald Trump? I mean, you know, these candidates, think about the candidates that the Democrats are offering. Who has had any kind of big business experience to understand this? What I appreciated, and you and I talked about this early on, Lou, when President Trump went into office, the number one question he would ask everybody is, how are we doing on jobs? How are we doing on jobs? How are we doing on jobs? And look where we are today. I mean, he's kept the eye on the ball, on the economy. He got big government out of the way so that capitalism, the engines of capitalism, could work again. And they're starting to hum. They would even be humming better and louder if the Democrats would either lead, follow, or get the heck out of the way instead of obstructing at every turn.
Yes. Now, you're absolutely on target. It is... He's had to clear the intellectual failure debris of the left in order to move America back into the center place that it should have in the world as the leader, as you say, of capitalism and of the free enterprise system that is the core engine of success and growth for every human being on the face of the earth, and we're doing better now than we were last year and the year before, and that's all attributable to Trump and frankly, Republican policies on on taxes and reform. You bet.
Well, the Democratic policies constipated our economy, Lou. It backed it up. He is the founder and president of the National Tax Limitation Committee. Lou, where can people go to connect with you?
They can go to limittaxes.org, and we want to reach out to them and help everybody learn more and be a better citizen and an effective voter. You bet.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're back with you, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. I'm Bill Martinez. Dr. Greg Smalley is going to be joining us in just a moment, who serves as the Vice President of Marriage and Family Formation at Focus on the Family. Greg says that at an early age, his passion for marriage began. He's the son, of course, of the late Dr. Gary Smalley, a family counselor, president and founder of the Smalley Relationship Center, and author of some 40 books on marriage. Marriage has been a theme for you, huh, Greg?
It has.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, I grew up watching my dad do it, and boy, it's been fun to follow in his footsteps.
Well, and I was also reading that you and your wife, I mean, you're committed that every Christmas that you make a point of studying a marriage book together.
We do. We do, because it's so easy just to become complacent. It's so easy as we get busy raising kids and working just to kind of, you know, put our marriage on cruise control. And then all of a sudden, years down the road, we look at each other going, man, we're married roommates.
Right.
And so Aaron and I really try to do something every year. And it's been fun to kind of pick a different marriage book every year and just go through it and let's see where God wants to take us in our marriage.
Right. And of course, you know, for you two, for you and Aaron, I mean, this is 365 days a year, whether it's a book you're reading, maybe it's a book you're living, you know,
yeah.
You know, along with all the other couples that you consult and deal with. And, you know, there probably isn't anything that surprises you.
There's not. But at the same time, you know, when Aaron and I really take the time to look and review at our own marriage, but there's times that I'm surprised, maybe an issue that we just haven't been dealing with, or maybe a way that she's been feeling lately. It was as we were kind of reading through a book this past Christmas, one of the things that came out was just Aaron going, there are so many times that I feel alone.
Yeah.
And of course I'm going, God, we work together, we are raising our children, what, how, yeah, when? But it had everything to do with that she was, in the midst of all of our busyness, she was feeling that I wasn't really pursuing her heart to really ask her, how are you really doing? Like, tell me what's going on. Keep me updated on a weekly basis of what's really going on inside of you. Mm-hmm. And I realized that we were doing a lot of stuff together, but I was missing that inner part of who she was, and she was feeling alone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great reminder that, you know, even for someone who does marriage ministry for a living, full time,
right.
It's easy to develop some poor habits or just to get busy to where, man, your spouse all of a sudden feels alone.
Right. It's like the shoemaker in town, right? Everybody else has shoes except your own kids. You go, wait, what are you doing? What are you doing being barefoot? Well, you forgot, Dan, you forgot to make me shoes. Oh, yeah, by the way, happy Father's Day.
Yeah, and I'm just afraid. I know that we have a target on our back.
Yeah.
I know that we're going to be attacked around our marriage, and I don't want to become complacent. I don't just want to assume and expect that, oh, we're just always going to have this great relationship. It takes work.
Without a doubt.
And I want to do that work.
Greg, are there like three, four, five things that you and Aaron really focus on that's kind of like your the center of your mission statement that you sense when things are out of balance that you go back to and say, hey, let's revisit these points, because these are the points that we ourselves have taught about, which is always ironic because I find myself teaching things that I myself have to learn. I go, oh, you're very funny, God. You just do this to me. And God has a way of doing that. You know, say, oh, I want you to teach this. And, well, why? And it's things that we ourselves need to learn most. But anyway, that aside, what 3 to 5 things do you and Aaron really focus on that are just those golden nuggets that, bring you back to center?
Yeah, I think first of all, for us, we really believe that as God brought us together, as two became one, that the oneness that we share between us, this unity, that's a powerful force. I always tell couples that, you know, oneness is the superpower of married couples.
Mm-hmm.
And what she and I can do together is far greater than anything that we can do on our own.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that we will always try to get back to is, what are we doing with our marriage to help serve and strengthen other couples?
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
Aaron and I are probably every year we'll review going, what do we want to do this year as far as using our marriage to help others?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like the Dead Sea. You know, the Jordan River,
right?
The Jordan River runs into the Dead Sea, but nothing
comes out. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And God doesn't want us to have a Dead Sea marriage. He is blessing us. He's given this amazing strength in unity and oneness. What are we doing to help others?
Right.
And so Aaron and I are always thinking about what are we doing to serve and love on others.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big one. Kind of figuring out what are we going to do together. And another one that we do is we call it a daily pause. And the average couple spends about 4 minutes a day communicating around kind of the deeper inner life issues. How are you feeling? What's stressing you out? What are you dreaming about? Those kinds of things. Most couples spend their time communicating as a business meeting. Who's picking up the kids? Who's going to the grocery store? It takes a lot to administrate our marriage and family.
Right. Exactly.
And sadly, a lot of couples get stuck in that sort of conversation, which that is not fulfilling. And Aaron and I have learned that the research shows that if you spend 10 minutes a day just kind of staying updated and current about your inner life, just 10 minutes, and it doesn't have to be consecutive. It can be 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes, you know, while you're laying in bed at night. But we've really prioritized, let's just do a quick little check-in. How are you doing today?
It's a great idea.
Because I want to stay, you know, she's always changing.
I know. Why do they do that, Greg? Why do they do that to us?
I know. One day she turned gluten-free, and I'm like, what's a gluten, you know? And we've got to stay current. And so Aaron and I just look for a little daily pause just to check in and how are you doing? I love, you remember the old group Journey?
Yes.
They had a great song called Faithfully.
Yeah.
And in there, there's a wonderful line that says that I get the joy of rediscovering you. And that's what I want my wife to feel, that I consider it a joy, that I'm pursuing her. I want to rediscover her again and again. And that means you've got to check in and spend a little bit of time, a few minutes every day, kind of how are you doing, where are you at?
Yes.
And that's a big one.
And that's like, you know, the Word of God says, he who finds a wife. And that finding a wife isn't the one and done kind of thing. I mean, it speaks of discovery, doesn't it?
It really does. Well, mm-hmm. Think about the word, okay, in Genesis 2:24, where it's talking about, you know, the man should leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife. Mm-hmm. What's really cool, that word cleave, the Hebrew meaning is close pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an ongoing thing. That's how am I continuing to closely pursue my wife? And I'm telling you, to pursue my wife means that I'm really going after her heart.
Right.
And I'm spending time every day kind of doing that. Mm-hmm. And that keeps us current. I stay updated on her. It keeps us connected. And then I tell you, the other thing that we do is we have to face our conflict. We're, mm-hmm. we're so different. I'm an introvert. Aaron's an extrovert. I mean, the list goes on and on of our differences, and therefore we're gonna get into conflict.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't take two people that different and not expect we're gonna bump into each other.
Right.
And let's face that stuff. I love James 1:2 says that when trials come your way, consider that to be an opportunity.
Right.
And that is so. Yeah. That is so true for
conflict. Yeah. Consider it pure joy. Pure joy.
Yeah.
And the guys go, hey, boy, you're a masochist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
no, but
I mean,
you're right.
But it's true, because we can choose. We can ignore that stuff. We can sweep it under the rug. We can pretend it's not there, let that stuff build up. Or we can say, let's just walk through this in a way that works for both of us. Let's figure out how to work through our conflict. And 'cause I always learn something. When Aaron and I face our differences, I learn something about her, maybe about our marriage, about me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a part of the growth. We've got to keep growing together.
Right. And it really strengthens the ties that bind. We've got about a minute and a half left here, Greg. Obviously, we needed to talk about this, and I appreciate these three golden nuggets. That's a good start for us. But I also wanted to address something that you wrote about here recently, and that is, you know, here we are celebrating Father's Day and all. But, you know, what does a father, you know, how does a father respond, you know, to a daughter that's about to get married?
Yeah, I have my oldest daughter. I went through this with her, so she's been married for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
And when her husband at the time, Caleb, when he came to talk to me for her hand in marriage, I was like, I panicked going, okay, I know I should ask you things,
yes.
Something.
Yeah.
And I didn't know. And so I've spent months talking to other fathers who've been through this, researching, and came up with, here are 12 questions that every father should ask, or even a mom should ask that boy who's wanting to marry your daughter.
Well, we're running out of time, so there's not going to be a way we're going to get to it. So how do we access those 12 questions?
Yeah, come to focusonthefamily.com under our marriage tab. Just type in under the search bar questions to ask your future son-in-law. And here are the 12. You can download a little PDF. You got the 12. So this is my gift to every father.
Oh.
Now you don't have to guess. We've spent so much time. These are the right questions, and this will help
Excellent.
You really decide.
Attention GCN Self-Reliance listeners. If you've ever wanted an emergency solar survival backup system but were waiting for prices too crazy to pass up, this will be the most important message you'll ever hear. Bill Hyde here, and I want to tell you about a huge sale with historically low prices on our PPX microgrid system that's going to let you produce an endless supply of electricity off the grid. The clearance price is a result of the historic flooding we're having here right on the east bank of the Mississippi. Because of the flooding, we've had to move a lot of our inventory to a temporary location, and rather than move it back to the warehouse, we thought we'd offer the system at a price that might seem unbelievable if you didn't know the floodwaters backstory. So here's what you should do right now. Check out the PPX microgrid system at myownpowergrid.com. That's myownpowergrid.com. Over $1,000 in great off-the-grid gear and a ton of bonuses too. And the best part? You're not going to pay $750 or $500, $300 or even $200. Go to myownpowergrid.com to learn more. That's myownpowergrid.com.
Both my legs were amputated.